This is the Blue Jackets Pipeline Podcast, presented by your Central Ohio Toyota dealers. We are here for you now and better days ahead. Each Tuesday, we check in with a Blue Jackets prospect who hopes to become a regular in the NHL. Let's see who's coming down the pipeline today with your host, Dylan Tyre.
Welcome to the Pipeline Podcast. I'm Dylan Tyre, and this week I'm going to be speaking to a Blue Jackets defenseman you probably know a little bit more about than some of our previous prospects, and that is Andrew Peak. He's a 22-year-old from Parkland, Florida. Of course, a former second-round draft pick by the Blue Jackets, and he made his NHL debut this season. He's got a goal and two assists for 3 points through 22 NHL games with the Blue Jackets this season. He got the call after playing 29 games with the Blue Jackets' AHL affiliate in Cleveland. Had a great start to his professional career there. 5 goals and 11 assists for 16 points in those 29 games with the Monsters. But a couple of injuries, of course, a lot of injuries to the Blue Jackets this season, but a couple of injuries to Blue Jackets defensemen gave him the opportunity in the National Hockey League. He's kind of taken it and run with it. He surprised a lot of people with how ready he was to play in the National Hockey League. He was the Blue Jackets' last cut in training camp, so a surprise to some there. But he's been able to step in this season, provide some good depth on the blue line for the Blue Jackets, and he's a very valuable defenseman. He's a right-shot defenseman, so those guys are always highly sought after. Good to have a lot of right-shot defensemen. Andrew Peak, just another one of those players for the Blue Jackets. Another guy that I knew a little bit more about than some of the other prospects, but just good to get to know him, good to learn more about his path to the National Hockey League. And before we get to this interview with Andrew, I just want to remind you again that the CBJ Radio Podcast Survey is still open right now. 10-question survey, most of which are multiple choice questions. It takes about 2 minutes to fill out, so please follow the link that's in the description of this podcast. Go to the description area of this podcast. There will be a link to that survey there. All you do is click that link, fill it out in 2 minutes, and it's going to help Bob McElligott and I out a ton. But right now, it's all about Blue Jackets defenseman Andrew Peak. So without further ado, here he is.
Where I want to get started, I've been asking a lot of these guys, how'd you get into hockey? But, you know, I think we've heard that from you a little bit. So rather than asking that, what are your first memories of playing hockey?
For me, my first memories, I kind of just had a love for the game at an early age. And the first time I ever skated was with Florida Panthers mascot at a little get-together thing at the local rink. So just kind of doing that and then playing in the house league when I was about 5-6 years old. I just found a love for it early, and that's kind of what really helped get me going.
So was it the Panthers being so close that helped to launch you into hockey, or was hockey kind of in the family growing up?
Definitely the Panthers. My dad never really played hockey at a competitive level. He just loved the sport in general. But being able to go to those Panther games, especially being from Florida, it was so huge for me, and getting to see some of the guys at a young age and then just going to games all the time, it showed me like hockey is a pretty awesome sport, even though you're from Florida and you can do it too. So it was cool.
So once you started playing a little bit and picking up the game, did you know immediately that you wanted to pursue hockey and that, you know, playing baseball growing up, you want to be a pro baseball player? Playing hockey growing up, you want to be a pro hockey player. So was it always hockey for you, or were there some other sports you were interested in, or maybe things outside of sports that you were interested in pursuing too?
For me, it was – I played – growing up, I pretty much played every sport, football, baseball, hockey. But competitively, baseball and hockey were my two main things. And in Florida, everyone plays baseball. Like, that's just common ground there. And I mean, growing up, I would say I was better at baseball than I was at hockey. But in the end, I just had a love for hockey a little bit more than I did for baseball. And I think I struggled 1 year in baseball, which kind of took me away from it. But, you know, it's not common playing hockey down there. And all my friends played baseball, all my friends played football. So there was that difference of, you know, like, hey, Andrew, like, keep playing baseball with us, or that type of stuff. But, I just really loved playing hockey more, and I just enjoyed it. So I just stuck with it and kind of realized, not when I was really young, I always had the dream of playing in the NHL, but I just loved the game and I just wanted to keep playing it because it was just so much fun for me.
At what point did you become a defenseman? I always am interested in asking guys when they became the position that they play. You know, all the goalies, it's usually the goalie stories are always pretty funny because it's like, well, we didn't have any goalies. The coach called me up one day and said, you know what, you want to try to be a goalie? And I said, yeah, why not? And it kind of stuck. So how did it work with you being a defenseman?
I played defense my whole life, actually. I think my dad always loved watching defensemen play hockey. He was from Detroit. He loved some of the defensemen there and just always kind of loved that position in hockey. So just from when I started playing competitively, I started right away on defense, and then I kind of had an admiration for it. Obviously, when you're young, you want to score all the goals, but you know, I was able to find ways to score from being a defenseman too. So made it work for me.
So you mentioned your dad's from Detroit, so I'd imagine you'd had a little bit of a Red Wings influence growing up. Obviously, you were a big Florida Panthers fan, and that's how you got into hockey. But were there some other teams or other players that you kind of looked up to, or maybe some defensemen that you modeled your game after growing up?
From when I started watching hockey and from what I can remember, I always loved watching Ed Jovanovski on the Panthers. Mm-hmm. He was just a great all-around player, and he was just a tough defenseman to play against, and I loved watching him. And then kind of as I was growing up, I really enjoyed watching Shea Weber, who's currently on Montreal. I really was able to watch him when he was in Nashville, and he was a right shot just like me, and he was someone that I tried to model my game after growing up and watching his techniques and stuff like that.
I'm sure having a guy like Seth Jones to watch and practice and play with as a right shot defenseman helps you out too, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, Seth is a great guy, and he's a great player. He does a lot of things well on the ice, and just picking up little tidbits here and there, just when you're on the bench watching him during the game or just in practice or just his off-the-ice habits, you know, it's a player you want to be and you want to look up to. So it's nice having that there.
This next question is one that might be a little bit strange, but you moved away from home. You moved away from Florida when you were relatively young to pursue hockey. So at what age did you realize you were good? Like, at what age did you realize you could make something of hockey? And then how did you come to that decision that, you know, going to boarding school was the best idea for you?
Yeah, well, so it's kind of tricky for me is I didn't necessarily realize how good I could get till probably around 15, 16 years old. So that was after I left home. But when I was put in that place to make the decision, I could either stay in Florida going into high school and keep playing down there or go to boarding school. I had a coach that was going to coach that U14 team at that school saying, like, Andrew, you have to come. Like, if you really want to work at this, if you really want to go somewhere, you're going to have to leave Florida. So I was kind of put in that tough position when I was 13 years old. It's like, I don't know how great I can be yet, but I'm either going to have to take this risk and make it work or just keep staying in Florida. And I eventually obviously took it and ran with it, which was, you know, looking back, it's pretty accomplishing.
You said it was at the boarding school that you realized, you know, how good you could be. So what was that process like? Was it, you know, playing a couple of seasons there and you said, okay, I can compete with these guys? Or was it, you know, you just felt you were developing so much when it came to off the ice stuff, practicing stuff, and then that translated in the games?
Well, it's tough because when you're in Florida, you don't necessarily have people to compare yourself to. And it's kind of how it is. You like to compare yourself to others. And even though you should mainly focus on how you're doing, you know, it's nice to have that comparison. And I never really had that in Florida. I was always one of the better defensemen in Florida. So I always thought, you know, I'm good for Florida, but how good am I compared to everyone else in the United States and Canada? So once I kind of got up there to Connecticut and was playing with other really good players and playing against players up north on a consistent basis, then I started realizing, you know, like working well for me, and I fit in better, if not the best, of some of these players. So that's when I kind of realized just personally, like, you know, this, I could make a living of this. I could go play college playing hockey, and just those little types of things that you pick up. And that's kind of when I realized.
So after those first couple of seasons at the boarding school, you went to play one season in the USHL. So how did that work? Were you drafted into the USHL? Was there some sort of agreement? How'd that whole process work out for you?
Yeah, when I was 16, or 15, there's a USHL futures draft. So that's just for your age group only. and I was drafted by Green Bay in the second round of that draft. And I thought it would be best for me to return back to the prep school I was at for my junior year of high school, just to keep developing and keep playing against some older guys. And I wanted to play a lot, so I didn't want to be necessarily in the situation where I was not playing all too much in Green Bay, and I thought that best suit me. So that senior year, I left for Green Bay, and I thought it was a great opportunity for me to come into the team and make a difference, and that's kind of how that played out.
What's the USHL like? I haven't asked a whole lot of guys that question, but, you know, obviously you didn't play major junior in Canada, but how does it compare, do you think, when it comes to, you know, playing style, just the game atmospheres, you know, are people interested in it? What's it like?
Personally, I love the USHL. For me, I thought it was a great development league for me. The biggest thing I took away is, well, obviously everyone's a good player, but it was really defense oriented. It was a tough league to score goals in. It was a lot of great defensemen and obviously a lot of great forwards, but just the way you play, and that kind of fits into the college mold of you going to college and there's tight games and big situations like that, where I feel like you see in major junior, there's more high scoring games or little things like that that are a little different. And I think that's just maybe the type of game that they play compared to US kids. But I just found it, for me being a defenseman, it was the best situation for me to learn like defensive tactics and strategies for me to keep developing.
So for you, was it always the idea to go play college hockey, or did you ever have any interest in potentially going to Canada and playing in major junior?
I always wanted to play college. There was opportunities to go play in the OHL, but for me, I was really big into school. I was a good student. I always wanted to attend a good university and play college hockey, best of both worlds type scenario for me. So I always stuck true to that and really enjoyed my time in college.
So at what point in all this did you start to get recruited by Notre Dame?
The summer going into my junior year. That summer was when the conversation picked up a lot. I knew they were watching me the year before, but that summer was kind of when I got a lot of college traction, and you know, that's when I kind of had to make my decision on where I wanted to go to school. So it was obviously tough decisions because there's a lot of great schools out there that I was talking with, but I just felt from a school and hockey perspective that Notre Dame was best fit for me.
Was it close really with any other schools, or was it always Notre Dame for you that was the school that kind of stuck out and that's where you wanted to go? You mentioned you're a good student. Obviously, it's a great academic school on top of having fantastic athletics. So I'm just curious if that was kind of what you had in mind, or were there other places that made some pretty strong pitches for you?
Yeah, like I said, a lot of schools offer a lot of different things, and you know, some might have the best college team, not the best school aspect. There's a lot of different thoughts that go when you're picking the school to go to, but for me, it was just taking these visits at these different campuses. And once I stepped on Notre Dame's campus, it was my last visit of all the college trips I went on. And right away, right when I got on the campus, it was just kind of that feeling you have inside you. Like if this is going to work, like this is the spot. And you know, once you had your offer and everything, you know, I just said to my parents, I was, this is it. This is where I want to go. This is home for me. It's one of my dream schools. So it kind of clicked right away. And I think a lot of kids get that feeling of, you know, this is the spot you want to go.
From everything that I've heard about Notre Dame, the hockey program, at least, is that it's very, very professionally run, great preparation for the pros. So now that you've kind of had a year to reflect, now that you've had a year outside of Notre Dame, how beneficial was that for you, looking back, to be in a program like that that prepared you in that way?
Oh, it was awesome. They treated us like pros. You know, the way things were handled off the ice, on the ice during practices, during lifts, we were treated and, you know, respected as gentlemen there. And it was important because, you know, you take that into your first year of professional hockey and you kind of feel like you have a little step up maybe on just the attitude that it takes to be at this level. And the coaches there, they prep you for so much. And Notre Dame's had a great track record of defensemen going to the NHL recently, and it just fit me perfectly with how I wanted to keep developing there as a hockey player.
You were a team captain for Notre Dame your final season there. So I'm curious, are you kind of a natural leader? Do you like that leadership role? Obviously, you're an NHL rookie, so that can't necessarily come out yet as much as you may want it to. But is that kind of part of your game? Is that something that you enjoy?
For sure. You know, being a captain at Notre Dame was arguably one of the best accomplishments I've ever had in my life. Being a captain of a storied program like that. And it, for me, it's just, I like to work hard. I like to lead by example and, you know, show my passion on the ice of wanting to win and wanting to be the best every night. And I think my teammates were able to see that from when I was a freshman at school and just kept building that into my junior season when I was captain. It's just, you know, I want to win. I want to work hard and I want to improve every day as a player. So I think I was able to gain that respect through my 3 years at school. And it was pretty awesome having that recognition from your teammates.
We talked about how Notre Dame was able to prepare you for the pros. And I think you surprised a lot of people this season with your on-ice maturity and really how ready you were to step into the pro level. You were obviously the last cut in Blue Jackets camp. You didn't spend a lot of time in Cleveland, came up with the Blue Jackets. But were you at all surprised with how quickly you were able to make it to the National Hockey League?
I mean, obviously, like you said, I was the last cut. The goal was to make it out of camp. Obviously, I think that's anyone's goal. But for me, I really wanted to do that. But I also learned that, you know, maybe it's best if I play some games in Cleveland and, you know, develop and really understand how the pro game works and, you know, get that confidence I need to make a statement when I come up to Columbus. And, you know, unfortunate that a couple injuries happened up here, but for me, it helped get me up here. And I just tried to take it day by day and just every game just focus on that game and just play my game and play to my strengths. And kind of like what you said, Notre Dame really helped me develop, you know, what it takes to stick here. And for me as a player, I just try to do what I do best and work on that to keep my game, you know, playing on a consistent basis. So
you made your NHL debut against the New York Rangers, I believe December 6th of 2019. Does that sound right?
Yes.
All right, so take me through, first of all, getting that call that you're going to come up. What are the emotions there? Who'd you get the call from? And then what was it like to take the ice for the first time at Nationwide Arena?
So Chris Clark gave me a call right before 5 o'clock, or right at 5 o'clock when that transaction happens, just letting me know that I was going to be coming up and to pack my stuff and head up there. And didn't say if I was playing because I got called up and they were playing Arizona. I didn't play that game. So I was just kind of just sitting patiently, just waiting for my name to be called. And obviously it did against the Rangers and it's a whole lot of emotions for sure. Nervous, excited, kind of all of the above that you feel. But in the end of the day, I've played in a lot of big games before in college and the USHL or even in Cleveland and stuff. So you kind of set yourself up and prepare that you're going to be okay, but there's nothing really like sitting on the bench waiting to go out for your first shift. You kind of just, you get those jitters and it's almost excitement. It's almost nervous. You don't really know. And you just get out there and you just start playing. And once you get that first shift, you kind of just feel comfortable and feel like, you know what, okay, this is, you can do this, that type of thing. But it's a whole lot of emotions for sure.
All right, I asked this next question to Gabriel Carlson a couple of weeks ago, and this is something that has always just really, really interested me because I'm up in the press box during the games, and, you know, the lead up to the game, you're getting more and more excited, more and more pumped up. Obviously, they've got the video montage before you guys come out onto the ice. They've got the camera in the dressing room, you guys walking down the tunnel, and you come out to all the music. So I want to kind of get into the dressing room, like, as a player in that situation, like, what are the emotions? What's the buildup for you? And like the minute you step onto the ice, when it's, you know, all dark in the arena, the lights are going, the music is on, what are you feeling? Like, is that one of the most awesome feelings in the world? Is it really, really cool to, you know, hear everybody cheering for you? Are you pumped up? What's that like?
It's pretty special. When you skate around the ice, right when you come on, lights are off and music playing. You get that adrenaline rush. It feels like it just hits you. When you sit in the locker room, you get excited. But when you get on that ice, you get that adrenaline rush and you just want to go, go, go. So it's really cool. And I mean, I've obviously never played in a crowd as big as until I got here. So hearing all these people cheer and stuff, it gives a jolt of energy in you, and it's really fun to be a part of.
You haven't played a whole lot of games at the NHL level yet, 22 with the Blue Jackets, but if you could pick one arena away from Nationwide Arena, what do you think has been the best atmosphere you've played in so far?
Well, I was hurt when I went to Vegas. That was pretty wild.
Yeah.
Just being in the press box and watching that stadium, it was almost like it was an entertainment show. It was pretty cool. Trying to think. Possibly Vancouver was loud. It's an older barn, but it felt like a little older barn, but it was, you know, people there are just crazy hockey fans, and it was wild there. Calgary was a good experience, just kind of that Canadian hockey fan, you know. It's a little different. I feel like just because their passion and their number one sport's always been hockey, it's just a different kind of atmosphere when you're there.
Now that you have played a few games at the NHL level, what do you think your favorite part of it all is? What is the best part of being a pro?
For me, it's just continuing to play the game I love at the highest level. You know, everyone's dream is to play in the NHL, and you know, even for me, I'm still trying to figure out ways to continue to stick here and continue to make a difference at this level. And for me, it's just, you know, people love hockey, and I love playing it. And when you get to play it at the NHL level, it's awesome. And you have such great teammates to spend every day with, and just building those bonds off the ice and on the ice. It's just a really special thing to be a part of.
The Blue Jackets are obviously one of the youngest teams in the National Hockey League. I think they started the season as the second youngest team in the league. Not sure where they sit right now, but obviously a very young team. But is there anybody that's really taken you under their wing and kind of shown you the ropes of the NHL yet?
Well, I'd like to say, like, Jonesy. I've hung out with him a good amount. Right now I'm currently in Columbus with him. We're skating in the same group, but you know, like we talked about earlier, he's a defenseman I like to look up to and kind of watch how he plays. And then off the ice, he's a great guy and great guy to be around. So I kind of just like to, you know, hang out with him, learn a little things, but he's a great dude in general and just have a lot of laughs and have a lot of fun together. And I'd like to think that you know, he's kind of taken care of me and he's helped me out a lot.
You mentioned it. You're back in Columbus skating in the small groups with some of these other guys. So how nice is it just to get back on the ice, first of all, but also to see everybody again?
It's exciting. It felt like 3 months it felt like forever not being on the ice and not seeing teammates or just having that competitive atmosphere of playing hockey. And now that you're back on the ice, you're ready to go and you just want to start playing people again and get in that competitive mindset, because that's obviously the best part, is that competition aspect of it. So it gets you one step closer, and it's just fun being back here and being on the ice with the guys.
Last thing I'll ask you here. I appreciate you joining me today. Appreciate all the time that you've given me. But the last thing I'll ask you, now that you've played in about 50 games as a professional hockey player, if you could pinpoint one thing in your game that you want to take to the next level, what would it be?
I'd say just having knowing that I can make a lot of plays, I guess. If to put that into perspective, just, you know, maybe coming out from behind the net as a defenseman, like knowing I could make that pass, knowing I could make this cutback, just that ability to know I could do all those things. And I know I can. It's just, obviously, when you go up a step every level, things get harder and harder, and your time and space gets taken away quicker. And you know, at the NHL level, it's the highest level you can go. So just having that ability to make those plays, and I know I can. It's just on a consistent level, every time I get the puck, knowing I can make that pass, knowing I could skate the puck here, and just little things like that you pick up on. And you know, every game I just try to get better and better at it. And I've seen a big difference, especially on that West Coast trip. So it's been pretty cool.
I think I know what you mean. Not necessarily the confidence, but maybe the comfortability of taking that step up and knowing you can make that play.
Right, for sure.
All right, Andrew. Thanks very much for your time. I really appreciate it this morning. Good to get to know you a little bit more off the ice. I appreciate it, and I'm sure the fans will too. So thanks again.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Thanks again to Blue Jackets defenseman Andrew Peak for joining me this week on the Pipeline Podcast. Excellent to learn a little bit more about Andrew Peak, especially when it came to the path to the National Hockey League. Not a whole lot of guys go that prep school route like Andrew did, so I found that very interesting to learn about. And how about a decision for a 13-year-old to make? You're 13 years old, living in Florida, and they say you got to go to Connecticut if you want to continue your hockey career and potentially make it to the National Hockey League. So a big decision by Andrew Peak, a mature decision, and safe to say it has worked out for him. So thanks again to Andrew for joining me this week. And again, I want to remind you, the CBJ Radio Podcast Survey is still open this week. Please, please, please follow the link in the description of this podcast to fill it out. It takes you about a minute and a half to 2 minutes to fill out. 10 questions, most of them are multiple choice, a couple of others are short answer questions. It'll help us out a lot. It's going to bring you the best audio experience going forward. So please, again, fill that out. The link to that survey is in the description of this podcast. All you got to do, click the link, fill it out, and it will help Bob McElligott and I out a lot. So one more time, I want to say thank you to Andrew Peak for joining me this week. And as always, thank you for joining me for this week's edition of the Pipeline Podcast, presented by your Central Ohio Toyota dealers.